Certainly good to see each one here this morning. Good to see Mrs. Thompson being able to be with us this morning. And especially my good friend who's going to have his 65th wedding anniversary this week. May the Lord bless them abundantly. Now I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we want to read the first 20 verses of this chapter, where we read, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and he came to the brook Bizar, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Bizar. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all." Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, as we examine this portion of thy word, cause thy name to be glorified. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Every believer at one time or another experienced what David wrote in Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. Now all of us at some time or other have experienced problems like David did at Ziklag. And we often ask ourselves the question, why do believers have these problems? Well, these problems could arise from numerous sources. Number one, they could be because of the sin of others. The sin of other people could cause us to have problems. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God commanded Saul, the king, to exterminate the Amalekites. But he failed to do it, and he was rejected by God. And it's an amazing thing that an Amalekite killed King Saul. May I say to you, there's a lesson here for us. Any enemy that you fail to defeat will turn and defeat you. Any enemy that you fail to defeat will turn and defeat you. So our problems could be because of the sin of others. But then again, our problems could be because of our own sin. You see, David had no need to be in Philistine territory. He was in the land of the Philistines. He had been there once before, and he narrowly got away from it. And you need to read the 56th Psalm and then the 34th Psalm and put them together. The 56th Psalm tells us what he prayed when he was in the Philistine country, and 34th Psalm is what he said to God after he got out. He shouldn't have been there, you see. And of course, David is scared of King Saul, who said he was going to kill him. And while he's in the land of the Philistines, David is deceptive. And he's lying to the king. Sir Walter Scott wrote these words, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." And David is living in deception. He's not living by faith. He's living by sight. Now, it took about 16 months for all of David's living in the land of the Philistines to come to a head. Now, God didn't stop David from going. He permitted him to go. He didn't discipline David immediately, but eventually it came. Eventually it came. None of us can escape God. You're a child of God this morning by the blood of his cross. He's one person you cannot escape. You cannot live in the land of the Philistines in a deceptive way and not eventually be disciplined by God. Why do Christians have problems? Well, number one, it could be because of the sin of others. Number two, it could be because of our own sin. But I like number three. It could be because God loves us. He loves us too much. You see, God permitted Amalek to burn Ziklag. You see, God had a message for David. God's message for David was this: David, I don't want you back here in Ziklag. I'm burning all your bridges behind you. I don't want you back here. You were here once before, and I thought you learned your lesson. Now I have to burn Ziklag so that you don't come back. You see, the scripture says, whomsoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And God loves me that much that whenever I step off base, he tags me out. And I'm so glad he does. Now, how does God help us with our problems? What will God do for us if we sincerely want his help? How does God restore our soul? David is in a real strait. How does God restore the soul of his people into fellowship with himself? Well, he gives us four gifts. And you want to know something? You can't get these gifts anywhere else. You can't get them anywhere else. You have to get them here, not in this building. But you have to get them from God, for he is the giver of these gifts. Gift number one, we need courage to face the problem honestly. David had been living in deception. Now we need courage to face the problem honestly. You'll notice verse 6 that we read together. We read this, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, how did the people with David react? Well, they wept. They wept. You see, friends, Christians do weep. Oh, there are times when you're going to meet some sanctified robot who might say, "We are going through a crisis. We will not show any emotion." You might meet someone like that. But friends, believers do weep. God made us with emotions. The scripture here tells us that these men wept till they couldn't weep anymore. They wore themselves out weeping. Comes a time in our lives, friends, when we have to do something. Our text here says that they were greatly distressed. The Hebrew word for distressed is the word mara, and it means bitterness. There is a bitterness within them. It's that word mara. When Israel crossed the Red Sea, the first place they came to was Mara, where the waters were bitter. You remember, and they called it Mara. That's the word here. They were bitter. Now they were bitter against David. And coupled with the bitterness was anger. Oh, I love 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, "He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain himself from evil. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile." Let me ask you, do you love life this morning? Now, whenever you see a one-string Christian, you know what I mean by that? A one-string Christian, they can only ever talk about one thing. Now, it might be a good thing. It could be a political issue. It could be abortion. It could be tithing. It even could be the doctrines of grace. All of these things are good. But when they only can ever speak of one thing, watch out for that person. Watch them. I'll tell you why. That person is bitter. That person is bitter. They are not facing life honestly. They are using this one message, this one string that they harp on as a detour and a camouflage. Be very careful. Now the men of David, they said, "Let's stone David." Now that would have done a lot of good, wouldn't it? Let's stone David. You see, when people get into a tight situation, they look for a scapegoat. They look for someone that they can blame something on. And the men blamed David. Of course, he was the leader. Why not? You see, they were ready to throw stones at David. But now here's the thing. What did David do? The scripture says in the sixth verse, the ending of that verse, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Now, the text there could be translated, David kept encouraging himself in the Lord his God. You see, this was David's lifestyle. You read the Psalms, and the Psalms speak of the way in which David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, how do you do this? See, if we need the courage to face the problem honestly, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God? How do we do it? Number one, by remembering who God is and what he has done. One of the greatest blessings are the hymn books of the past. I say that kindly. Well, we usually sing our experience hymns instead of the magnificent hymns that exalt the Lord and the work of the cross. This is one of the reasons I enjoy the singing at the Lord's Supper. We're not always in tune, but you know what? We're singing words that have meaning. Words that have real meaning. We encourage ourselves in the Lord our God by remembering who God is. We need to do this. And we need to remember what God has done.
we saturate ourselves with the grace and the goodness of God. This is what David did. Now, if you spend your life looking at yourself, you're going to be depressed. And if you spend your life looking at others, you're going to be distressed. But you spend your life looking at the Lord, you're going to be blessed. And this is what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. All we need courage, friends. Gift number one. We need courage to face the problem honestly. Honestly. Gift number two. God gives us the wisdom to understand what he wants us to do. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Now God is not like us. Aren't you glad? For I am. I'm so glad God isn't like me. So is my wife. She's so glad God isn't like me. You know, we get so distressed so easily when children come to us and they ask us the same question over and over again. Mama, why are tomatoes red? You see, you get so tired of answering the same question over and over again. You see, but you see, knowledge is different from wisdom. You see, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. We need wisdom. God enables us to take knowledge and turn it into wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We must take knowledge and turn it into wisdom. You see, God has a will for every one of our lives. If you don't believe that, you have to read the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. God made me the way I am. Why? That I might do his will. And he made you the way you are. Why? That you might do his will. You see, that's what the Word of God tells me. God planned me for the very work that he wants me to do. That's what David tells us in that great psalm of the omniscience of God, Psalm 139. Now in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it reads that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 I read, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Knowing that God has a will for my life that is good and acceptable and perfect, it enables me to accept me for the way I am. There are a lot of things I wish were different, and I can't do anything about it. One of the things I wish I were able to do is sing. And I can't. I can't carry a tune. But God didn't make me to sing. He made me to expound the Word of God. There are a lot of other things I wish I were able to do. You see, I wish I were able to play the piano like Richard Barlow, who's coming next Sunday. I tell you, that boy can play a piano. He's not a boy. He's a man. All 6'4". He's a man. But you see, I've often wished I were able to do it, but I can't. But God made me the way I am. He made you the way you are. Isn't it a blessing that just as you are? And that's what we sang when we got saved, a lot of us. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. God takes us just as we are. For he made us this way. Why? Because he has an ultimate plan that he wants to fulfill. Now, in order to get the wisdom to know what we've got to do, you must want it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Do you really want it? When it comes to the will of God with most people, it's like this. Father, you show me what you want me to do, and if I like it and agree to it, I'll do it. That's how most people are with the will of God, believe it or not. Father, you tell me what you want, and if I like it and it suits me, then I'll do it. If it doesn't suit me, I'm not going to do it. And then we wonder why we're out of the will of God. You see, the method of knowing the will of God is John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know. If any man will do his will, 99 and 44 100% of knowing the will of God is being willing to do it before you know it. God is not going to reveal his will to a person who is not willing to do it. And we sit in church and we sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way," and we keep going our own. That's what David's problem was. That's what got him into the problem that he was in. He's not living by faith, he's living by sight, and now he's come back. He's encouraging himself in the Lord his God. He's facing the problem honestly. You see, F.W. Robertson said, "Obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge." Why do you read the Word of God? Do you read the Word of God for knowledge? That's one of the blessings of it, but you should read the Word of God for obedience. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, God gives us a wisdom to understand what he wants us to do. Now, where do we get this wisdom? We get it from Scripture. But you don't get it from a panic reading of the Scripture. You know what? Oh, I'm in the midst of a crisis. I've got to read something. What does God have to say? You don't get the answer from a panic reading of the Scripture when we get into a problem. David had a lifestyle of reading the Word of God. And he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Are you reading the Scriptures, friend? Are you in them? He restoreth my soul. To have our soul restored, we got to know something. A where to turn for help. There's a third gift. God gives us a strength to do what we need to do. You see, we have that in verses 9 and 10. God gives us a strength. David pursued. You see, David had to do something. God didn't send the angels to do it. Boy, wouldn't you like if God would send the angels to do what you need to do, but God will never do that. God will not send the angels to do what he wants you to do. You see, David was tired. His men were tired. 200 of them couldn't even cross the brook. Bezor. Now, Philippians 4:13, we quote it, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." You see, God doesn't solve our problems in spite of us, nor instead of us. But God solves our problems in us and through us. Do you want your problem solved? You have a problem? Do you want it solved? Well, maybe you enjoy your problem. Maybe you enjoy your problem. You know, a lot of people do. It gives you something to talk about. It gives you something to talk about, and it makes you important. It is possible, friends, in our day in the church, to be a professional weaker brother. We call it counseling. I need counseling. No. What they want is consoling. They want somebody to tell them what they want to hear. You see, there's a big difference. David wasn't like that. David cried to God, "Give me the strength to lead this army in order that we might recover all." That's what he needed. He needed recovery. You see, sometimes we must do hard things. They're hard things that we have to do. Ephesians chapter 3 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It works in us, not in the angels, but in us. Is God's power working in you? If his power is working in you, we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. There's a fourth gift, and that fourth gift is this. God will give us the faith to trust Him to do what we can't do. You see, there are certain things that you and I can't do. There are some problems that are just too great for us. They're like scrambled eggs. Once the eggs are scrambled, you can't unscramble them. You know, you can pull the nails out of a board, but you can't get rid of the holes. And you know, there are some problems in life today that are like scrambled eggs. And there are nails that are pulled out of a board. The holes are there. And they're going to be there until the Lord returns. You see. Now David came across a real blessing, and that real blessing is called the providence of God. They met an Egyptian in the field. You see. Oh, what a master this Egyptian had. My, we could spend another hour on David and the young man of Egypt. What a picture of the sinner this young man was. He was an Egyptian. He was a man of the world. He was a servant to an Amalekite. In other words, he was a servant to the flesh. Oh, what a picture of the ungodly, the unsaved man. He was brought to David. And everyone who's ever saved is brought by the Spirit of God to the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a picture, you see. Now, what a master this Egyptian young man had. Now, David didn't know where the enemy was, but God knew where the enemy was. Let me ask you a question. Suppose David was the kind of a person who had no concern for others. And here, David's on his way to fight a war, and they bring this sick fellow who hasn't eaten or drank anything for 3 days. He's totally famished. And David said, I'm just too busy for all this. Can't you see I'm in a hurry? Can't you see we're fighting a war? Are we too busy? Are we too busy for others? You see, David was a shepherd, and he had a shepherd's heart. He had a shepherd's heart, you see. And of course, this is the divine providence of God, because through this young man, David, is able to get to the enemy, and the enemy was just gloating over all that they had. And David smote them. And he recovered all. David was more than a conqueror. You know, we need to spend time in the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. You see, the 37th Psalm is a psalm that it speaks of fret not. You have that expression, fret not. Over such fretters many times. You know, a guitar player, they work the frets. You see. Fret not. You have it in verse 1, verse 7, verse 8. Fret not thyself. May I tell you this morning, you're either fretting or you're trusting. You're either fretting or you're committing. You know, I can always tell when I've not committed my way to the Lord. I'm fretting. I'm nervous. I'm agitated. I have no peace. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. He restoreth my soul. When severe problems come, we must remember three things. It may be the result of the sin of others. It may be because of our own sin. But it also could be that God is polishing us because He loves us. And then when the crisis comes, we can ask God for these four gifts. Gift number one, We need courage to face the problem honestly. Gift number two, we need wisdom to understand what God wants us to do. And David got it. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Number three, we need strength to do what we need to do. Lord, I'm tired. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Gift number four, he gives us faith to trust him to do what we can't do. Commit. That's what David did. And when David committed himself to the Lord, when it was all over, God got the glory. God got the glory. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. You know what our problem is? When it's all over, we want the glory. But when it's all over, God must be glorified. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Let's stand for the benediction. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we may commit our way to thee. Commit thyself also to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. We thank thee, O God, that our desires can be your desires, that we may commit ourselves to thee, and we may know the rich blessing of walking with thee. Oh, we just ask you now that you'll use this word in our lives. Often we have to confess our soul needed to be restored. And these very things, these gifts can be had freely for the asking. And we may know the joy of blessed fellowship and restoration with thee. Now, our Father, we commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.